as we were wrapping up the conversation with Joe Batonio, we got some pretty interesting news here. And there are, as most wide receivers have gotten paid here over the last this last summer, there's still some quarterbacks out there that there are some contracts that are being wrapped up. One is Jordan Love. That has not been announced yet, but he has not been at camp. That is a big to-do. I don't know Brock Purdy's going to get paid before this year, or before the end of the season, but that's another kind of big domino to fall out there that will in some way set the market. I don't expect Brock Purdy to set the top end of the market, but I think we're starting to see that, like, you get paid within specific tiers, which makes this news very interesting, as multiple reports now say Tua Tagovailoa is signing a four-year, $212 million extension to keep him with Miami beyond this season. Tua will be the highest-paid quarterback, the third highest-paid quarterback in the NFL this season on a per-year basis. I will say, it's been very fun to watch agents who spent 5 or 6 years tell us the only thing that mattered in any of these deals is guaranteed money. Now that the NFL has pretty much explicitly said there's not a shot in hell we're giving another quarterback a fully guaranteed contract, it's pretty interesting to see that now we've shifted the goalpost to the average salary per year. But I'll just say this. What the hell was Miami supposed to do? And, like, this is the reality. Like, the Browns faced this decision not too far ago. Right, or far too long ago. They went into, coming off the 2021 season, saying, we're probably at the point where we either need to pay Baker Mayfield, coming off an injury, coming off all the drama of 2021, or we need to try and take a swing to do better than him. And I think if you look at that draft, there were some interesting names, but maybe not somebody you were going to trade up, and maybe the first pick wasn't available that year. So, okay, that's off the table. What veterans are there out there? Well, Deshaun Watson was the only one. The Browns made that trade, traded Baker to Carolina, and the last 2 years is history. I don't think Tua is the third best quarterback in the NFL. I think if we were going back to the Jared Goff Mendoza line, like I did on the Infinity Sports Network this last Sunday, or like we kind of did earlier this week on the show, I would have Tua behind Jared Goff. I don't know I'd even have Tua in the top 13 or 14. I think Tua is very much like Brock Purdy. I think he is a fine quarterback. I think he is very much a pro. His numbers, I should say, are very much a product of the system he plays in. And so, do I look at the Dolphins paying Tua $53 million a year for the next 4 years. Do I look at that as the smartest investment? No. I think at some point they're going to run into the same problem that once upon a time the Rams did with Jared Goff, that I think the 49ers eventually ran into with his injury problems too with Jimmy Garoppolo, where you're going to look at that quarterback and go, this guy's only going to take us so far. At the same point, it's easier to say teams should move on from these quarterbacks than it actually is to pull off. And, like, for instance, and even to this day, you can defend the ideology in which the Browns used to go from Baker Mayfield to Deshaun Watson. Was it probably sloppier than it needed to be? Yeah, but Baker's an emotional guy. Baker probably owns part of that, right? But in fairness, the Browns, whether it was Baker's agent, somebody in the Browns organization, however the quote got out there that the Browns needed an adult in the room, and that was their justification for moving on from Baker and pursuing Deshaun, you can see how Baker took that personally, given what Baker had meant to this organization and given what Deshaun was being accused of and eventually suspended for and sued for. That was unnecessarily sloppy. But the logic is pretty sound. You've got a quarterback that you feel like is capped by talent or whatever, and there's a quarterback out there that has already been established as a top five, top 10 quarterback in the NFL. It has not worked out that well. Not to this point. Now, in fairness, it didn't work out for Baker the first couple years, but certainly last year it did. I think that is, I actually think a fair amount of teams around the NFL look at the Cleveland Browns, look at that situation and go, the Browns moved on from Baker because they wanted a quarterback that they could win a Super Bowl with, and 2 years later, they're no closer to winning a Super Bowl. And I know that the circumstances around Deshaun are incredibly rare. Dudes don't get paid. Dudes don't request a trade, then immediately get accused of sexual harassment, sexual assault, then get paid to be on the active roster but not play for a full season, then get traded in the offseason, only to then be suspended by the league for 6 games, which turned into 11 games, then play 6 games, come back the next year, play again, get hurt a bunch, and in 2 years' time, only play 11 games. Well, too many people have started using the phrase unprecedented times with things that are very precedented in this country. Like we do have, and it is something about the human mind that now either has to be the absolute best or the absolute worst of circumstances ever in history, even though it is not even remotely close to the truth. The Deshaun thing is wildly unprecedented in the NFL. But I think it illustrates the truth that teams have to know. I guarantee you there's people in the Miami organization that think the same way about Tua Tagovailoa getting $53.1 million that the average Twitter user, who I'm seeing in all these mentions making fun of this contract, think. But there's something to be said about, we don't have a path to get better at quarterback right now. Tua has finally started to pay dividends under the Mike McDaniel system. So why don't we pay him and see if maybe we're wrong? Why don't we pay him and see if we catch the year where you can win with a quarterback who probably isn't responsible for you winning a Super Bowl? And I actually think, more teams should think like this. Like the Jared Goff deal got panned, and Jared is now the fourth highest paid quarterback on a per year basis going forward. It's like, what is Detroit's option? Like, there were people in Detroit who said, don't pay Jared Goff 3 months after he had them in the NFC title game. And that would be fine if you had, like, the Packers moved on from Aaron Rodgers because they had Jordan Love sitting behind him. We were all pretty skeptical about it when it happened. This last year, especially in the down the stretch, Jordan Love looked like a franchise quarterback up until probably the second half of that 49ers second-round playoff game. So I don't know why more teams aren't comfortable. Now, in this case, you're paying Jared Goff top five money. In this case, you're paying that same quarterback top three money in Tua Tagovailoa. But I would rather pay, and maybe overpay in the parlance of some, for the 13th best quarterback in the NFL. I'd rather overpay Kirk Cousins 10 times out of 10 than go into an offseason where essentially the Steelers have lived this last year, which is the quarterbackless abyss. Because usually when teams enter that, it's ego. Like Matt Rhule took over in Carolina, and they were going to move on from Cam because Cam was coming off a shoulder injury. And they're like, we're going to get Teddy Bridgewater. And then they sucked that first year, and because Teddy wasn't anything more than Teddy Bridgewater had been, they're like, we gotta do better than this. And so they traded a 2, a 4, and a second for Sam Darnold. And then Sam Darnold sucked because, quite frankly, Sam Darnold sucks. And they're like, oh, well, this won't stand, but we still got to pay Sam, so we can't afford another quarterback. 2 years or a year after cutting Teddy Bridgewater and trading for Sam Darnold, so we're going to trade like a 4th-round pick for Baker Mayfield. Or a 5th-round pick for Baker Mayfield. And then lo and behold, it didn't work. Why? Hubris. Coaches think that they can do better than the perfectly fine quarterback that they have. And every coach feels like I've heard Ron Rivera say it himself in Washington. We're going to quarterback proof. We're going to build a roster that doesn't rely on a franchise quarterback. No, you're going to build a roster that gets your ass fired in 3 years. Am I comfortable paying Tua Tagovailoa top three money? No, nobody is. Nobody in that Miami organization today is like, we got him. We kept him. There has to be an admission that you're just churning water here. You're just treading water until either that option becomes available. And by the way, why don't teams just draft developmental quarterbacks and try and figure that? Anyway, I digress. That's what San Francisco did. They drafted two developmental quarterbacks when they knew in the future they were going to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. One of them worked out. It just wasn't the guy they took with the third pick. 216-474-0092. So Tua Tagovailoa getting a four-year, $212.4 million contract extension by the Miami Marlins.
Or Dolphins.
Them two. It actually would be something if the Marlins spent that kind of money. That leads me to my next point. Spend more money. Bruce Sherman. I think he's still the owner of the team. But no. $212.4 million by the Miami Dolphins. I don't know anybody thinks this is a great idea. But I think treating this like it's a god-awful idea, when teams that try to either go in a different direction that isn't definitively better, and even when teams try to go in a direction that everybody agrees, hey, anybody in the world in 2021 heading into 2022 would have changed out Baker Mayfield for Deshaun Watson. That was supposed to be a can't-miss move. 2 years later, we're still waiting for it to not miss.